Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody.
Now this is my speed, Joe Callie. Keep that one going right now.
Just keep that going the entire time.
Nothing wrong with a little Blink 182 in your life at 10 in the morning.
It's good. It's good, especially when you have two NFL games last night and neither of them were good.
Also, it's good to have Blink 182 in your life at any time of the day.
Right. That's probably fair. That's right. Good car ride music.
Great car ride music.
That's right. Yeah, we had two NFL games last night. Neither of them were any good. We'll get to that here. We'll also talk, of course, the start of Week 5, Bills and Patriots Sunday Night Football. We'll go through Saints and how bad the defense still looks and all of that. Should be a fun week with the Bills being one of just two teams at 4-0. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Do want to start with last night's games? I feel like I'm a old guy yelling to get off my lawn with everything going on in the NFL. I don't like the international window. I often find them to be bad games.
Oh, so you've got terrible news for what Roger Goodell said then.
Right. No, I know. And then Thursday night, I don't like. And even these Monday night doubleheaders, I'm kind of sitting here going, okay, one of these games on paper was good. Quarterback injury, you kind of can't predict for it. It is what it is.
Right.
But I'm sitting there watching Dolphins-Jets, and I'm just like, this game's terrible. It's not really worth watching. And then once Burrow's out and it's Jake Browning out there, no disrespect to him, we've seen what backup quarterbacks look in the league. It becomes nearly unwatchable with some of these teams.
Hang on. Considering what he did a couple of years ago, I should say – there should be some disrespect, I guess.
Well, no, I mean,
because he kind of set up for.
He did, but he's also still a backup quarterback, I think, for a reason.
But Browning had a great run a couple of years ago to keep Cincinnati in the playoff race up until week 18. And so you set yourself up for kind of a little bit of a slanted criticism toward a backup quarterback because he showed you he could do it. And through 2.5 games here, it's not that he's been bad, he's been unusable.
Yeah, and I mean, their offensive line looks horrendous. Surprise, surprise.
What a surprise.
Their defense, even with Trey Hendrickson, is still bad.
What a surprise.
Like it was last year. So, there was nothing really good there. But Bo Nix had a great game. I think 4 total touchdowns, over 300 yards.
He also threw a ghastly interception.
Yeah, it was 4th down in the end zone?
Yep.
That one was rough.
I mean, hey, he didn't arm punt it out of bounds like Russell Wilson did. So, I guess there are fates worse than that, but...
The best.
It wasn't a good throw, though.
But I guess the best storyline from last night was Darren Waller off his rap career had 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Off his rap career.
I'm watching these, and I'm just like, there's no need for this. There's no need to have 2 Monday night games. We're about to deal with that in a few weeks for the Bills. I will say, though, positive news for everyone that works the next day on Tuesday. Bills are at 7:15.
Yes.
So they're the early game. That's at least exciting. But I'm watching these, and I don't want to sound like too much of a curmudgeon right off the rip, because I'm excited. Baseball playoffs start today and the whole thing. That should be fun. But I don't find the appeal to this. The European games, again, often a terrible game, and it was on Sunday morning with the Vikings and the Steelers. That was more – I saw Mike Shope tweet it, and I couldn't have agreed more. The NFL's begging for this game to be done by one. Just get it over with.
Yeah.
Get it over with.
Yeah, that one's tough. I like the idea of the double Monday nighter, though, more than Thursday night football. Because at least you get the full week of preparation, everything like that. The idea is, I think, better in that sense. Player safety, everything that I can go on about with that. I would prefer double Monday nighter versus any Thursday nighter in terms of quality of game. Their biggest screw-up was that Jets and Dolphins was a Monday nighter and not a Thursday nighter. That is a game that you bury into week four of Thursday night football.
Yeah, and you hope just it doesn't kill you too much in terms of how bad it was.
Hey, Dolphins, Jets, we gave you a primetime game. It's Thursday night. Because that is currently what you deserve.
And we'll get to the Patriots because, I mean, they actually haven't been terrible, to be perfectly honest, to start the year. They've looked pretty darn good. Drake May, I think, definitely has taken another step forward in his second year. We'll get to them, though, in a little bit. But for the AFC East, the other two teams, Jets, I liked the Aaron Glenn hire initially. I still kind of do. But they're in a really bad spot. Talent-wise, they are not good. Giving Sauce Gardner over $100 million seems like horrific business. Garrett Wilson's really good. They paid him as well. And then Fields, it'll be hard for me to ever totally quit Fields because of the athletic ability. And he showed it last night. He had a 40-plus yard rushing touchdown on fourth down. Looked great. Can't throw the ball. He can't really throw the ball at all. And then for the Dolphins, your season was already on the line there. Good for you. You don't fall to 0-4. You're 1-3. Tyreek Hill, though, his career might be over with. If you didn't see the injury, I don't really recommend going to look it up. It's pretty gruesome.
Just trust everyone that says it didn't look good.
Yeah, dislocated knee with obviously then a torn ACL, and they're checking to see even more, likely having more torn ligaments in there. It's going to be a long recovery. If he really ever even comes back, it's going to be, I think, 32 in March or April, wherever his birthday falls.
And Hill's big thing is his speed, and that kind of an injury devastates all of the ligaments in one knee.
Yeah, just the games yesterday. I wasn't even excited for them. I will watch bad college football all the time. I watch terrible college basketball all the time. I just like watching sports. But with the NFL in particular, I seem to have an aversion to bad football. It really does bother me. Because you're just watching it.
Your glasses turn into a monocle. Yes, I need good football.
I kind of do in the NFL. Like that's where I fall. And in part, like I was making this joke the other day with some friends, and I'm like, Josh Allen is going to make watching Bills football 5 to 10 years after his retirement very difficult. And to no fault of the Bills, they could still be a very good organization, right? They could go from their, I guess, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers equivalent to Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, and it could be great. But the way he plays football, and even on their C games, I know Nate's been using that a lot in post game and on the overtime show.
You're welcome.
As well. You know, their C games, they're still putting up 30 points. You just don't see that around the rest of the NFL. There are not many teams that on an okay day, they win by 12 or they win by 10. They put up 30 points. You just don't see that. And then looking around the rest of the NFL and watching some of these games, and I'm just like, oof. Some bad football, bad offensive line play, kind of around the league. There really are not many good offensive lines as a full unit. There are very good offensive linemen, but as units, there are not many great offensive lines. And you saw it last night with Cincinnati. That offense is nearly unplayable. They're just chucking it up to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, hoping for anything.
And that is part of having a backup quarterback. They're not going to make the best of decisions. Look at Carson Wentz in Ireland. But maybe the numbers will end up being there at the end of the day. Like, Wentz threw for 350. Nobody really noticed because he was playing terribly for that game. And with Browning, what's he do immediately when he gets in there against Jacksonville? Feed the ball to Ja'Marr Chase.
Which is the correct way to do it. Carson Wentz, what does he do when he went in? Justin Jefferson. And he had like 9 catches in the first half.
It's a shame for rookie Jackson Dart that he will not be able to just do the Malik is down there somewhere.
Yeah.
Because the MetLife turf monster has claimed another soul. Love to see that. They need. Oh my God.
Well, that's. I mean, I think
they need to get rid of that surface. They've needed to get rid of that surface 7 years ago.
Yeah, that might be a thing that really does start to come to a head here for them of just everyone knows how bad it is. And now you have one of the. I thought this was going to be something for the tush push is once you have a quarterback get hurt, all of a sudden. It sounds awful. No one cares when offensive lineman gets hurt. But if a quarterback got hurt on that play, well, now it'll be easy to get rid of. In reality, it ended up turning into it looks awful, and now, you know, there's false starts constantly. No one's able to call it. That'll get banned. I wonder now with MetLife, with a star player on the Giants getting hurt, does that maybe push the Giants themselves to go, okay, we've got to fix this.
Right.
We've got to fix this.
It is an issue. The turf monster there, it's typically been two fields that I've always been the most nervous about, MetLife and Detroit, Ford Field.
Yeah.
Those are the two that always seem to have the most notorious of injuries. The Bills have to play there every year. Thank goodness they already got through theirs without relatively much incident. But, for example, if they have to like play the Giants on the road, I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Because then all of a sudden, you've got to get the Bills there twice. And
yeah.
That's not good.
No. We didn't really have to deal with the vet for Philadelphia, that field.
Yeah.
Which was just asphalt. that's what it was.
I mean,
it was concrete with like green paint over
growing
it.
Growing up, I probably had watched more games of that. But I also didn't – my brain didn't fully function yet. Still a child.
Right. But like that was the stadium that I always heard like the horror stories about. Is like when you had to go to Philadelphia, you were like, cool, we're just gonna play on the road.
We're playing street ball.
Yeah, we're playing street ball and it's actually tackle. We'll see what ends up happening tackle. Here as well with you know with the Bills next stadium and stuff like that.
What, you never played tackle football on the street?
No. No.
I don't advise it.
No, don't advise it. But yeah, just some bad games over the weekend. I still enjoyed watching the football, but in particular, like last night, I just – the NFL is that one sport where I can't just like kind of sit there and enjoy the bad product. Again, like college sports, I can. Basketball, I kind of enjoy it. NHL, I can. Baseball, in part, I almost hope it's a bad game where it becomes a pitcher's duel and no one can hit. NFL, if it's a bad game, there's nothing that'll get me to turn the TV off faster than two teams that kind of just can't do anything. A lot of penalties, too, last night, especially in Miami and the Jets. Ugh.
That is kind of interesting that you say it like that, though, because the NFL is king. And it has our sports society in a vice grip, really. But yeah, when the professional play is at a subpar level, it is very discouraging to want to keep watching it, let alone two of these games on the same Monday night also doing that to you. Because mm-hmm. typically your saving grace is that one of them is good. And the idea was that one game that was going to be good would have been Bengals-Broncos with Burrow healthy.
And you saw how they put it too, specifically. It was going to be the second game. You'd start watching the first game, and you hope that turns out good, and then you'd maybe transition over to the second.
But that tells me the flaw mm-hmm. in the logic already.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Why in the hell is it the Jets and Dolphins?
Yeah.
You should want a good game to at least start out, or at least a potential mismatch that turns into a bit of a imbalance late in the game so that you're all watching the 8:15 game.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that what they think is going to happen with Bills and Falcons?
No, I think that one ends up just being like correct. Like, we're going to have a really good game here. Even if the Falcons aren't really good, you're going to have Josh Allen and the Bills on TV. That'll be great. And then what's the second one?
I haven't actually seen
what the 8:15 game is for that week.
I'm going to need a second on that, but that should be the idea, is you put a first game in there that it's going to get ugly later.
Bears Commanders, 8:15.
Oh, no.
Well, no, that one they can lean into.
Revenge from Hail Mary.
Look what happened last year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Jaden Daniels going to be healthy by then?
I think probably by then he should be. He started practicing this week.
Yep. I knew it was close, but it's still worth asking. Yeah, I can at least, I don't know. It's going to, and then here's the other thing. Ready? The Thursday night game this week, 49ers-Rams. That's a really good divisional matchup, except it's on Thursday. The quality of play is going to end up going down. What am I looking at here in week six? Oh, there we go. Eagles-Giants.
Oof.
That's a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You tuck that one away at Thursday night, and you deal with that. But I would have thought on paper, for example, Cincy-Green Bay would have been a good idea to highlight in there. LA-Baltimore is a 1 o'clock game that week.
Chargers-Baltimore?
Rams-Baltimore.
Rams-Baltimore.
Good Lord, the Ravens keep getting thrown in the gamut here.
Yeah. Oh, their schedule really, I think, never let up.
And now
they've got so many injuries on defense.
Their schedule's actually diabolical through the first 6 weeks. The Texans and Browns are your, like, grace period.
And it's two of the better defenses in football.
Yeah.
I don't want to definitively say two of the best because I haven't looked at the numbers necessarily for that, but two of the better ones.
I think that's the exact way to say it. They have a nice underbelly after that. Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals. But are they going to be alive by then?
Yeah, that's going to be a real curious thing to watch with them, just mainly due to the fact of has Pittsburgh already clinched the North 4 weeks in. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot from this weekend, and I took away kind of a lot of negatives. For Bill Saints, though, was also sort of that as well, and something we've talked about, where when you look at the schedule, it was going to be tough to learn anything positive. The two big takeaways I had from Sunday was that Cole Bishop is really coming along real nicely, and Deion Walker might be a stud as a fourth-round rookie. After that, a lot of it is still, for me, waiting and seeing, waiting for these suspended players to come back, waiting for the injured players to come back. I guess the other takeaway we could have, more of a bad one, but also a good one, Spencer Brown's super important to the offensive line and how they operate. But that's not really that surprising. You hope a guy like a Ryan Vandermark or a Tylan Grable, whoever their backup lineman is that has to go in, has a good game in the spot duty. Vandermark last year against Kansas City. The likely turnout, though, or at least the one you should maybe expect, is that the offense won't look as good.
And
with one of your key offensive linemen, a right tackle, out.
And your projected backup tackle also out.
Mm-hmm.
Grable is supposed to be the guy behind him. And he's not. Because he is still on IR. He is eligible to come back now. But it's not a surprise, like you said. Spencer Brown also earned a contract extension because he is playing like one of the better right tackles in the NFL, a position where right tackle, you do need to make sure that there's not a gigantic gap between your left and your right tackle anymore. You do need to make sure that there is something there to hold on to at your right tackle position. The Chargers are going to get real interesting now. They've lost Rashawn Slater and now Joel Alt.
Alt with a high ankle sprain, so it's not season for him, but you're right. I mean, And you saw what it meant against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, Jackson Dart had a pretty good game, you know, and especially after Neighbors went out. I think that was more on just how many hits Herbert took, how the offense could, and Amarian Hampton was having himself a good game, but they just could not get going on offense at all once, obviously, now both their tackles were out.
But back to the Bills on this, it's just the one thing about it, you and I said it all last week, we're going to learn nothing good about this team for about a month. The Bills' defense really just decided to test that theory and see how far they could push it.
Mm-hmm.
Against New Orleans, it was, at the very start, against the scripted plays, awful. It was almost nightmarish watching them playing. And the tackling issues are really the problem at this point. Because I started questioning if Babich is the guy, but the defensive coordinator does not make the tackles. He does not take the poor angles on tackling or in run pursuit. And you saw it on the play that Saints touchdown, the first one, where Rapp comes in, bad angle, and he gets pushed aside. And then Trey White puts up a less than desirable effort.
I think I saw a lot of people after that play legitimately calling for him to be benched.
And Dorian Strong then does happen to come in the next drive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the tackling, like the coaches don't have anything to do with that. And tackling was a huge issue against the Ravens. And, well, I mean, it's hard to tackle Derrick Henry, except the rest of the league has proven that it's not really right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it might just be a Bills talent on the roster issue. It might be the defensive tackles are not winning one-on-one battles in the run game. Deion Walker's getting double-teamed already.
Yeah, and then you're down through one game this year, but he's probably been your best defensive tackle for most of his career. At Oliver, he's been down since week one. You had one performance from him. Now he's been had a boot on his foot. We're all watching how much he's limping whenever we see videos of him. It looks like he's still maybe a week away.
But the linebackers, once considered to me a position of strength heading into the season, Bernard's missing tackles. Matt Milano, when he's in, is missing tackles.
Dorian Williams looks bad.
Dorian Williams has been surpassed by Shaq Thompson as the next linebacker in.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the idea of signing Shaq Thompson all throughout once they did it, but I didn't think that they would need him this much already. I thought that that was just really valuable depth. Well, it turns out it is. It's just that now he's a higher piece on the depth chart than I initially suspected he would have to be. Williams has been bad. Andreessen, I mean,
we haven't really seen much from him at all.
We haven't seen much from him, but also, like, if we get to that point of seeing him, that means there's a lot of injuries and we got problems. But I just look at this defense not making tackles, and it's like, that's something that no matter what, good team, bad team, you got to make plays. Because if you're not making the tackles, it's not going to work for you. Taylor Rapp has become a major concern for me now through four games. And if he keeps playing like this, I might start calling for DeMar Hamlin. I'm not kidding. It's getting bad. But Cole Bishop has gone from mystery box to, oh, you probably have something here. Good. Which a lot of fans, everyone's nervous about the unknown with him. Well, it seems like he's got things going. Now that he's got a steady set of playing time, they made sure to force snaps to him in the preseason, even in a scenario that he really should not have been in or thrown into.
Yeah.
But they needed him to get snaps. And now he looks like he is a player that they saw all along as a second-round pick.
He looks already like one of their better athletes.
And that's
across
good.
The defense, he looks like one of their better athletes. I will say, though, with this defense, it's hard for me to talk in definitives with them because of how many injuries they have, because of their first-round pick having not played at all. And to be fair, we'll see how much Harrison actually is really able to affect the defense because of his LCL sprain and McDermott kind of seeming like we're not heading towards a redshirt year, but that it's definitely a possibility.
We're taking our time with him.
Right. And then as well, suspended players, Larry Ogunjobi, and maybe more. I don't know if Michael Hoyt's being talked about enough, and I would put us in that box as well.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, that he's suspended. We'll talk about him later. He came in, though, to the Bills as one of the more versatile defenders in football. Take what you will, because I saw some of the PFF grades from this weekend, how Ryan Vandermark somehow was one of their better offensive players. So, again, take this with a grain of salt if that's you. But Hoyt was a top 10 run defender by his grade per PFF last year for players of his position. Is that going to be something big for them? That's where they were getting gashed on Sunday, was those was guys going towards the edges. They were going outside. It's Joey Bosa, who been great as a pass rusher. He has been awful in the run defense against both mobile quarterbacks and then just running backs. He has been not good. Greg Rousseau, I guess, is maybe dealing with a bone bruise. That seems to be what I've seen the reports from him. But they've not been good there. Maybe Hoyt changes that. Maybe having both Deion Walker and Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones in the interior, along with Larry Ogunjobi, will really help them. It won't be great if all of a sudden TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson, your second and third round pick, are healthy and actives. But I think for most of us, it's much more of, I just want a Super Bowl. I don't really care about the future. I care about the now, which is where guys like Deion Walker is so exciting to have, because he looks like both a future piece and a now piece.
And I think there's something you mentioned, like the Super Bowl thing. This is also going to the anxiety of Bills fans on a week-to-week basis right now. There was a caller on the Overtime show that Nate and I took on Sunday night that put it in a pretty good perspective for me. it's because the Bills haven't won something yet that the anxiety creeps up, and you have a game like this where you only win by 12 against the Saints, and it's like, oh, can this team even win in January or in the Super Bowl? It's week four, but we're all gauging it like that because we haven't been there. This core has not been there.
I think that's absolutely
There's
right.
an entire generation of fans that didn't even know what the playoffs were for 17 years. There's an anxiety that is added to it within Buffalo fans that is natural because of the fact that the team does not have that championship. There is no redemption arc, so to say. And as a matter of fact, I feel like any one of us, if we tried to nitpick the Saints and the Bills had a championship like this, or if they were coming off of one, you'd feel like a jerk.
I think, honestly, I think you'd feel like a crazy person. Like that is something I thought about, too, of like how much am I really going to care about their right guard situation or their linebacker situation if it's the year after Super Bowl. Now, to be perfectly honest, I'm a very competitive person. I'll want more. So very quickly it'll become easy to go back to the norm, I think, for myself.
But there are plenty of people that will be like,
this is ridiculous.
What are you doing? What are we doing?
And I think it's right to bring up, it's the anxiety of, but we haven't won one yet. Philadelphia has a hard time passing the ball. I don't think they completed a pass for the entire third quarter and they still beat Tampa. Like, there's real issues in their passing game. A.J. Brown is quoting the Bible out here on social media talking about if you're not wanted, just disappear. Really, they've won two Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Like, who cares? The Chiefs are the dynasty of the 2020s. Like, they have issues on offense, but honestly, who cares? Like, they'll be fine. Like, trust the process. For Bills fans, you can say that, and in many aspects, it is true. Just trust the process. They've been there and done that. But they haven't been there. They have not gotten to the Super Bowl. They have not won one. And until that happens, I think you're right. There will always be that level of anxiety of, oh, no, the wheels are starting to fall off. Oh, no, like this is going to be our Achilles heel. We can't stop teams like Philadelphia, like Detroit, like the Rams, or even going to the AFC, Kansas City and Baltimore.
I liken it to, I have to leave the house for 2 hours and my beagle gets like a little bit of that separation anxiety. That's what I liken that to. Oh, everything's fine. You won by 12. Oh, everything's fine. You came home. But what the hell?
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you put me through that?
Why'd you put me through that? And that's what the last 2 weeks have been. Why did you put me through this?
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll have our top five primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Talking Bills defense, how much of it is really an issue right now? Is it an issue they can sustain going forward with them taking on the Patriots this Sunday night? RJ, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you right after this quick timeout. We've also got some breaking news in the NHL we'll hit after we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.